Good morning. It's good to be with all of you today. I am thankful to be able to stand before you in good health, and I'm thankful to see all of your faces here this morning as we have gathered together to worship and to serve God. We do have visitors with us, and we want to tell you that we're grateful for your attendance. We're glad that you're here. Many of you are returning from times past, and that's always a good thing that you've been here before and decided to come back. We like that a lot, and we're glad to have you with us. This morning we're going to talk about an idea about being the sons of God or being the children of God. And I was thinking about this topic and looking in the Bible and just doing my daily Bible reading, and I noticed something that I thought was very interesting. For example, if I were to ask you, whose child are you? Just in an earthly sense. We think about sometimes the little kid in the grocery store. You know, if the kid's lost or crying, they would say, "Who are your parents?" Right? That we need to know that because we want to find your parents. We need to know what their name is so that we can announce that name over the PA system. We'll find your parents. So who our parents are is very important to us in an earthly sense. And it's a very important question in the Bible. You ever notice when you look at characters in Scripture, some of our favorite characters of all time, that it'll say things like Joshua, the son of Nun. We have Joshua. We know he's the son of Nun. Baal, the son of Peor. Gideon, the son of Joash. Isaiah, the son of Amoz. All of the major prophets start by telling us that they are the son of somebody. Matter of fact, if you look back at the prophecy of Amos, now he's a minor prophet, but Amos, his father is not mentioned, and he makes note of that as he writes the book of Amos. He says, "I was not a prophet, I am not a prophet, neither was I the son of a prophet, but I'm a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit." So he even points out the importance of knowing who your father was. And I recognize in the Old Testament, it's probably the replacement of what we have as last names now, right? I'm not Danny, the son of Bob, I'm Danny Simmons. I'm Robert Daniel Simmons III, which speaks to a lineage, that there's an R.D. Simmons Sr., R.D. Simmons Jr., which is my father, and then I follow, and then Corey is in dead last. Right now, as we speak, he's last place. But that's the way that works, and so we recognize that this father idea, or having someone who is your parent, or the one who brought you into this world, is important, and it's true across the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1, look at 1 Samuel 9 with me. 1 Samuel 9 and verse 1 says, "There was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man in power. And he had a choice and handsome son, whose name was Saul." And so there's Saul's lineage laid out for us. He is the son of all of these men that are mentioned. And Saul's not only brought in or brought onto the scene that way, but Saul also recognizes the importance of knowing who's your father. Look at 1 Samuel 17, down in verse 55. This is immediately after David will kill Goliath, and the Israelite army will have great victory over the Philistines. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 55 says, "When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As your soul lives, O king, I do not know.' So the king said, 'Inquire whose son this young man is.' Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son are you, young man?' So David answered, 'I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite.'" This is common language in Old Testament times, and even into the New Testament, we see characters in the Bible and they are the son of somebody. But when we get into the New Testament, we have this new picture where we're starting to move away from who my parents are. And we're starting to acknowledge and recognize that we are children of God. There is one whom I call Father. No man on the earth deserves that title except for God who is in heaven. Look at Ephesians 5, and we'll begin thinking about this idea of being the Son of God. And I want to warn you a little bit here. I don't want you to get ahead of me thinking you know how this sermon ends. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. "Therefore, brethren, members of the Lord's church, Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us and offered a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The passage is beautiful. It is relatively short as we have it here in our reading. Be imitators of God as dear children. That is the heart of our study this morning. We look to God and we know about God through His Word. He's talked to us about who He is and all that He is. The great mysteries of God are revealed to us. We take hold of that in our minds, in our hearts, and these things are spiritually discerned. I am not the son of Bob, I am the son of God. I appreciate the reading that we had just a few minutes ago from Romans chapter 8. We are led by the Spirit. We are sons of God. We are heirs of eternal salvation. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we are children of God. Paul says, because this is true, imitate God your Father in every way. And so this charge is laid upon us as children that we must behave in a particular way. And the Lord means what He says when He talks to us about this. Look to Jesus Christ. Remember who He is and walk in love. How should we love? Well, we need to love as Christ. How did He love? He gave Himself for us, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma to God, our Father. Christ began all of this by offering Himself as a sacrifice. It was pleasing to the Lord, and therefore we are brought in as His children. We cannot do things that make us look different than Jesus. We can't think about things that make us think differently than Jesus. Everything we say and do is a reflection of who He is, and that's what confirms that we are absolutely children of God. We walk in the light as He is in the light. Look at 1 Peter with me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. I just want you to take note of the language here as we think about being children of God and what He's done for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. The apostle says this, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Peter makes this same point about us being children of God. We are obedient children of God. We do not conform ourselves to the former lusts, as we did in our ignorance. But God is who has called us is holy, and so it is, again, the charge is laid upon us as His children that we must be holy. How can we ever do that? By knowing our Father intimately, to know that He is holy and to follow Him and to be imitators of Him as His dear children, that we would walk in this particular way, that we are children of light. You may notice already that I've put the face of a young child for our PowerPoint just as an idea there for us to continue to think about and to remember what it means to be a child of God. The light of God shining upon us as His dear children, that we are childlike as Jesus commands us to be. We trust Him with all of our heart. We believe every word He says. Children are not concerned about how their Father will provide. They wholeheartedly believe that His good and rich blessings will be there just as they were yesterday. We depend on Him fully. We go to Him when we're happy, just like an earthly father. I can't wait to tell my dad what happened today and how I did. We go to Him when those things happen to us in our life. We go to Him when we're scared, don't we? There's no safer place to be than in the arms of your Father. The Lord has shown us through this physical truth in our own earthly fathers that He is the same, but He's far greater. He is holy, He is righteous, He is just. He wants us in His arms. He wants us to fully depend on Him and to imitate Him in every way. So the scriptures are clear so far, what we've read. As obedient children, you be holy. as your God and your Father in heaven is holy. Now, we're going to ask ourselves, I've already kind of leaned this way. Well, how do we do that? Well, I say, well, look to God. Read His Word, understand what it says, and do those things. Okay, I've got it. But do you still feel like God's your Father when you read Scripture and you think about what He said and all that He is and how small we are and yet He loves us? Does that tie it all together for us? Or do we still find ourselves sometimes doing whatever we want, forgetting about God and His will and walking away not as obedient children, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, but as rebellious children? We use language sometimes that we shouldn't, that show that we don't even know God. How do we fix that? How can we correct those things and be more faithful to our God and to our Father? Jesus is going to show us a way to do that. Let me show you what He says. In Matthew chapter 5, if you go back to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is going to give us very difficult instruction on how to live our lives and how to deal with our fellow man. And I mean, it is very difficult. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Watch what Jesus says to His listeners and to you and to me about God. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do also? Therefore, you shall be perfect." This is what Jesus is saying to us. You shall be perfect before God. You are His child, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You can be perfect just as He is perfect. Now, how do we do that? Jesus has made this very simple. Love your enemies in verse 44. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He says, if you can do these things, you are the sons and the daughters of God. Now, Jesus does not leave us in the lurch and help have us just try to figure out what God wants or what He expects. He says, look, here's how you imitate God. Look to Him and make some decisions about how life works. When you get up in the morning and you go outside on a beautiful day just like this, what a fabulous day we have today. It's not just yours. Sometimes we walk out of our house, the sun is shining, there's a cool breeze blowing, and we say, what a magnificent day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118 and verse 24. We trust God, we love God, and we think, boy, He made a special day for me and my family so we could go out and do the things that we want to do today. I think that's okay, but it's not just for you. The old sinful, wicked, wicked man who is involved in all kinds of hateful and evil deeds, he too will walk out into that same sunlight that we enjoy. He does not know God. He does not recognize God. He expects these days to keep coming. We are different in that we know who gives these good things. But again, watch the Lord. Did He keep that sunlight, those warm rays of light? Did He keep them from the wicked man because he's so terrible? No. Jesus says, be like your Father, be consistent. Do not be wicked before the wicked and then save up all of your good works in case you come into contact with someone who's a good person. Continually pour out who God is in your life. Remember, the sun and the rain shines on the just and the unjust. And Jesus says, God's perfect. This is how He is perfect. This is how He is just and righteous. You be holy, just as God is holy. Do not let men dictate who you are. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may defend yourself against the wiles of the devil, those fiery darts that he is launching at you every day. What does that look like? Do we think about Ephesians 6 enough to make application and say, okay, the Lord is allowing the sun to shine on the righteous and the wicked, so I'm going to be just like Him. I'm going to imitate God. I'm going to be good to everyone. If someone blesses me, I will bless them. That's the easy part. If someone curses me, I will bless them because of who I am and because who God has made me to be. If I could only, just for a moment, reflect His marvelous, glorious, loving light. And you know what you're going to see when we do this? I know you do it. And you know how this feels. When you do this, when you've been challenged and someone has brought you low through their evil and wicked words, and you still beam forth as a brilliant light of truth and of love, that when you walk away from that instance, even though you've been hurt, you do know in your heart, I am a child of God. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. But God is perfect, and He wants me to be this type of person so that I can be an imitator of Him, I can be a child of light, I can be a son of God. Look at John chapter 1 in verse 10. We're turning over to John chapter 1 in verse 10. Jesus in Matthew 5 says, you can be just like your father. If you go to Matthew 6, you will notice that Jesus says, your father, 9 times. He does not abandon. In Matthew's gospel, after He says, you can be just like your father who's perfect, He does not leave that point. He says, your father, 9 times in the next chapter. In Matthew 23 and verse 9, He says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, He who is in heaven. And so this idea is very close to the heart of Jesus. And we become children of God. We know who God is because we believe in His Son. This is crucial to what we're thinking about this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 10. John says that Jesus Christ was the true light of God. In verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. That is, He came to His own domain. All that He made and created, He stepped into it, and His people did not receive Him. But, in verse 12, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Now, who is allowed to be called a child of God? It is those who receive Jesus Christ the Son and those who believe in His name. We are children of God because we believe in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 13, John adds this, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Lord and Savior, they are children of God. They are born again. This is not by the will of the flesh. This is not through the teachings of men. This is what God has given to us that we would follow and obey it. And then, no, I've done what God has said. I am His child. I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is where we want to be. This is who we want to be. Now, you know, if the sermon stopped here, it would just be an offer to, hey, why don't you choose to be a son of God? Be good to others around you. Bless those who curse you. Be a good person. And know that you're a child of God if you believe in His Son. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's what we've looked at this morning. You know that if you choose not to, you're still the son of somebody? You understand that? All these things we've gone through, and you say, yeah, 1 Peter, I read that before, I know that. Matthew 5, been through that 1,000 times, I know what that says. John chapter 1, read that 1,000 times. I know that everything that's been created is created by Jesus, and I know that He came into that which He created, and I know that men didn't receive Him. I know all those things. Well, whose son are you? Whose child are you? Who do you belong to? You know, the world knows. The members of the church know, God knows, and the devil himself knows. There are those who are sons of the devil. Can you believe that? Children on earth who God has made, created, and had His Son die for them. They have chosen to be sons of the devil. Acts chapter 13. Let's watch the Apostle Paul. I love Paul. I love Paul and I can't wait to meet him. Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. Now when they, this is Paul and Barnabas, who have been separated by the Holy Spirit from Antioch to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Man, what a name, huh? Bar means son of. This sorcerer, this Jew, his name is Son of Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. He is staring deep into the eyes of this sorcerer, and he said, "O full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, looking into this man and saying, "You son of the devil, you are filled with all unrighteousness. You are the opposite of who God is. You are not a child of God. You are the son of the devil." Why is he the son of the devil? Why, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is this man who can choose to be saved, why is he a devil? Well, the scriptures tell us that he is a sorcerer, he's a false prophet, he withstood the apostles from teaching Sergius Paulus the truth of God. He's standing in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is an adversary. He is the devil, and he is the son of the devil. He tried by his own means to turn Sergius Paulus away from the faith. Now, who else does that in the world? Whether intentionally or through a misguided attempt, who else does that in the world? Is this happening to us today? Are there those who believe in some false teaching and false doctrine who tell others what they believe and deflecting the eyes and the hearts of men away from God and His Son? You better believe it. It is happening everywhere, all the time. And do we have the courage to look at someone and say, "I don't believe all that. Over at my church, we teach this." Which one of us would say, "You son of the devil, do not defy the living word of God. You will stand before him and you will give an answer." Now, we can't strike people blind. I don't think any of us can. Paul does that by the power of the Spirit of God to this sorcerer. But we can sure tell them the truth. You are the son of the devil because you defy the truth. The question is serious. Whose son are we going to be? Let's look at a few other examples of sons of the devil. Matthew 10 and verse 24, Jesus will deal with those who refuse to hear his words. Matthew 10, down in verse 24. Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household?" Jesus is talking about himself here. If they call the owner of the house, the father of the house Beelzebub, how much more so will they do to those that are in the house? He's saying, "I am the teacher, you are the student," but they've already called me Beelzebub. They say I cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And if they're saying that, guess what's going to happen to you if you follow me? It's going to be worse for you. But the picture here is those who behave in line with Beelzebub, with Satan, with the devil himself, that great serpent of old. If we move according to his will, we are his children. We can't blurry those lines and say, "I'm a children of God, but my heart and my life says otherwise." There are those in this world who could give testimony against me, declaring myself a child of God. If that's true and if they're right, then you are not a child of God. It doesn't mean you just kind of float out in the open space somewhere. It means you are a child of the devil. And we need to take that very, very seriously. John chapter 8 in verse 42. This is where Jesus deals with those who won't hear his words. John 8 in verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." There are qualifications here for those who are the sons of the devil. We know that he's a murderer from the beginning. We know that he does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. And so, how are we doing with being honest? Have we lied this week? Do we declare ourselves to be children of God, and then we gotta tell somebody something that's not true? Because we gotta get through this. Who have you run to when you do that? Which father do you run to when you lie? Is there someone you like to see dead? That's not a joke. Is there someone you'd like to see dead? The Proverbs tell us over and over again, the fool rejoices in the harm or the downfall of his adversary. There's no love there. We bless those who curse us. Is there anyone in your life today that if you found out they passed from this life, that you'd breathe a sigh of relief? Or did you say, "I'm glad that's over"? We got to be careful. Because when we think that way, when we live that way, you are in the wrong camp and you have run to the wrong father. We do not want to be sons of the devil. Look at Ephesians 2, because this is very important too, this kind of getting this idea of the son of the devil and how do I know and what does it look like? Well, we do know because we've been there. The Bible's clear to tell us we have been sons of the devil. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." There's all these qualifications that show us this is why you are wicked. This is why you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And this is how the Holy Spirit is telling us you are under the sway of the wicked one. By the way, who does he control? The sons of disobedience. You are intelligent. You have the Word of God in your heart, and you know what this looks like. You turn on the radio, you turn on your television. I don't think we think this way, but let's just say you turn on your radio when you get in the car. You listen to the first couple of lines in the lyrics of the song you're listening to, and we've got to ask ourselves, in sobriety, in righteousness, and in the light of God, who am I listening to? Remember, there's only two camps. Is this a son of God, a child of God, or is this the son of the devil? Think about the popular music today and the direction that it's been heading for years. If you're of any age at all, you know this. Christians panicked when they saw Elvis swing his hips. Because the sons of disobedience act a certain way. Today, we thank God that our children are listening to Elvis and not some other scoundrel of this day and age because of how far we've come. How does the power of the ruler of this world work? He enters into the sons of disobedience and he creates music that is phenomenal. There is a beat and there is a sound that takes over your mind and your body, and we can feel it. It makes us feel good. Satan uses every tool he has to have that beat and that rhythm and that sound that brings you to the highest point of your day. And he takes that and he places words in there that no Christian should ever hear. The degradation of women, the attack of one person upon another is happening constantly. The new fad today is female speakers who are singing songs about how terrible every man is. You don't believe me? Listen to what they say. I'm breaking free. I'm now on my own. I'm strong. I'll do it my way. I'm tired of being held down. Is that the word of God? Whose son are they? What does it do to us when that wears on us? When our brains take in this type of teaching from the sway of the wicked one? Who's in charge of these sons of disobedience? And where do we stand? That's the better question. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. God says, I am holy, therefore you must be holy. Let's end on a really positive note with the passage we read in the beginning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. The word of God, given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, says this to every Christian. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you lived according to the flesh, you will die. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We are heirs of God. We are heirs with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You may remember we also read from Ephesians chapter 5 when I introduced the topic of being children of God. There's a nice contrast that's given to us, and we'll finish here with this particular passage. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You see the contrast there? Don't be connected to anything, any of these things. Do not be involved. Don't even let it be named among you, because the inheritance of the kingdom of God will not be yours. And the wrath of God will rain down on the sons of disobedience. Have no part with them. Therefore, he concludes, do not be partakers with them. There's an invitation given out to anyone here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel. That God, in his power and his wisdom, has shown us that he's offered his son as a sacrifice so that we could be saved by believing in him, believing in his name, and by our deep desire to not be sons of disobedience, but to be children of God. Just as the natural birth is in the beginning of life, so to be born of God, to be introduced to eternal life, to be introduced to the true light of men, and to know that you have the favor of God is granted to all those who will come forward and be baptized, repenting of their sins, confessing the name of Jesus Christ, and living a life of faith. There could be someone here this morning who knows their life is not right with God. Remember, we can't float in the middle. There is no in-between camp. We're either sons of God or we're sons of the devil. If you're in the wrong camp and you are a member of the Lord's church, come back to the Lord. Let us help you in any way that we can. If we can do that, if we can help you and encourage you, come forward while together we stand and sing.